Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. If you'd like to talk to us here, we'd love to speak with you. The number is 888-627-6008. If you had a question about the afterlife or about life, or you want to share a personal experience, I don't know about the life part. I'll leave that to Tom. But everything else you can ask. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and this is Tom and Melissa Gould.
Hi,
hello,
Bob.
Guys. Thank you for being here tonight. And anything new and exciting to tell me?
Well, we're happy to see you. I know we had a wonderful time with you in Florida. It's not that long ago. I'm missing you already.
And I knew I was speaking with you earlier, and it's time to pack up the stuff and go on to the next one already.
Right. Yeah. Coming quickly. So, hey, you know, speaking of that, Bob, we often talk about the retreats and how, you know, successful we felt they were. How do our viewers, if they're just listening now, usually by the time we talk about a retreat, it's the upcoming one, and we have to say it's already sold out. So if somebody really wants in on these retreats, what should they do right now?
Well, the as you say, the retreat is sold out, but there is a waiting list, and you never know. You know, people go on these waiting lists like 6 months in advance, and then as it gets closer to the event, make it. But there is still I think 12 or 13 seats left for the July retreat, so people can register for that. And then we usually announce the retreats about 6 months before. So in April, or maybe even a month sooner, we'll be hosting the October retreat. So, you know, just look for the retreats about 6 months in advance. And if you're a member of the foundation, and if you're not joined, it's free. You'll get advance notice, so you'll get first crack at being able to go to the retreat. So thanks for asking.
Well, and also, if somebody's not already a member, and I don't know why they wouldn't be, then they still can get in. They just, the price difference.
Yeah, you know, as a perk, if you're a member, the pricing is less. But you have to be a member for 30 days. So, you know, become a member, and then from that forward, you'll get discounted pricing to whatever we do.
Good to know.
So some people had sent in some experiences that they had, as well as some questions. Some of them a little bit lengthy. And as I mentioned a little while ago, if you want to share an experience or you have a question, it's 888-627-6008. So here's a person that wrote kind of an interesting story. A friend of mine during my 30s came to my home in tears, as I had never known this friend to express sadness so demonstratively. I was puzzled and deeply concerned. I went to close the door after her and witnessed a being enter the room with her. I was instantly terrified, but so greatly concerned for my friend that I managed to refocus my attention on my friend. The being, a male, remained. I asked my friend what had happened. She told me, and while she spoke, the being made clear what my friend could not know. I could see both his manual responses. He raised his palm to his forehead and lightly tapped in a gesture of short thinking and understand tell reason for being with my friend. He wanted her to find solace in knowing that he was free, yet understood what he had done. It turns out that the being was his older cousin. My friend told me that she had been to a family dinner with him the week before. He was very depressed over being out of work, and she had readily assured him that all would be well. She just found out that he had killed himself, and he was devastated. The being had just found out that he had killed himself. Okay, the being communicated with me that he had been in anguish while in his body, seeing no way out, and had taken his life. But instantly upon release from his body, he realized that he had been overcome with imaginings and feelings, sensations and pain that convinced him that suicide was his only option. Now that he was free of his body, he was at peace and could clearly see both the enormity of his previous felt despair and the short-sightedness of his decision to end his life. He wanted my friend to know that he was free. He fully understood both his inner turmoil and the short-sightedness of his actions, and he was at peace with this knowing.
Wow.
It's quite a story.
Was the person telling this story someone who was able to communicate with spirit typically?
I don't know, but I mean, you know, it's certainly, it's a good question. I know we hear these accounts often of people, you know, they're not dreaming, they're not meditating, and they just spontaneously see these beings who they don't know had died, and yet they see them and they don't think anything of it. Then right. Later they find out that the person died, you know, at the same time as shortly before. So it's very compelling from an evidence point of view, right?
But certainly.
So she addressed a few things. I mean, sometimes, people are depressed or have a mental illness and they think it's the only way out. But the important thing was that, you know, the take home message was he was free, you know, and he wanted to let everybody know, you know, that okay. So,
wow, that's something. But how nice that he was able to communicate that and get that message through to
his son. It's another one. The last time I experienced signs of life beyond the physical body was during my 40s as my father was passing over. My father's sister had reached out to us after the hospital reached out to her to advise her that they thought my father might be holding on and wondered if he had any family in California. As soon as we were informed of his condition, my sister and I rushed to the hospital. We were told that he had been in a coma for over a week. He had lung cancer that had gone to his brain and was on morphine. I had not seen my father in 6 years, and neither had my sister. We had become estranged, although deeply connected when I was a child. My sister and I decided to spend the night in his room with him. Sometime during the evening, hospital staff came into the room and asked us to step into the hall as they had to change the room with my father, his medication. While in the hall, I remained alone as my sister chatted with hospital nurses. I looked towards my father's room and saw him leaving the room. He looked like he did when I was a child in his late 20s. And was in a motion with one foot up, about to take a step that clearly indicated he was leaving. I immediately rushed to his room, my sister following after me, to find him sitting up in bed with huge blue eyes open and staring at someone or something straight in front of him. I took his hand, my sister took my other hand, and in that moment, my dad took in a breath, released it, and passed over. The nurse was called and confirmed, but called a doctor who also confirmed that my father had died. To each, my sister replied, "We already know. My sister saw him in the hall." My sister later told me that she could tell by the look on my face when I took off for his room that I had seen something and realized after reaching the room, joining hands and witnessing my father's last breath, that it must have been my father letting me know he was leaving.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
She also added, "I'm 76 years old now. I want you to know it gives me great joy to know of your work and research." So just 76. So, yeah, wow. I mean, these are some, you know, compelling.
I love that. I love that. And I hope others listening realize it's not unique to that one individual. I mean, that individual got to see it for herself or himself, I'm not sure if you said, but I think that it's probably what happens in many, many cases.
Yeah, this was a little bit unusual because she saw him in the hall. I mean, usually you'll witness the loved one talking to somebody, you know, that you can't see, but she saw him. He manifested himself. So that's
might be because he realized that's where she was. And if he simply drifted off, that younger figure drifted off upwards, she wouldn't have seen him. So maybe it was personally intended for her to see.
Yeah, we've seen many stories about people who will wait until either people are out of the room or people have come from miles around to be there, and they can basically choose when they're going to pass. I know that they can't say, no, I'm not going to pass at all. But if they know they're going to pass, they can kind of say, well, wait till my son gets here, and then I can go. And that seems to be clearly the two children of his wanted to be there for him when he passed. So, yeah, so he went out into the hall and said, hey, you better get inside. I'm about to go. And that saved them the pain of not actually being there to see him through.
You're right. You know, excuse me, we talk a lot about out-of-body experiences, right, which sometimes can happen in dreams. So this person wrote, had an unusual dream that was in higher detail resolution than regular dreams. I thought likely just imagination from seeing flying Peter Pan movie and cartoon Casper the Friendly Ghost. I was flying over my neighborhood, what seemed about to be 100 feet high, and recognizing it all. I saw a spot of field that was never looked at since it was up on a small hill of a field 100 feet away from the path that I used to walk on, through it from school to a street of houses. It had a 2-foot by 5-foot wide hole in it. The next day, walking through with a friend from school, I mentioned the dream. So we went and looked, and I was amazed that there was a hole there. Of course, he thought that I had seen it before and was making up the dream story. Ooh. So she had a different vantage point in that lucid dream, and she was able to describe the hole, and then she went to seek it. But, you know, at the end, isn't that what always happens? You know, like, friend didn't believe her, but friend thought that, you know, was making it up. But there's an example that we can go out of body in our dreams. Did you ever have a dream where you were at a high altitude, looking down?
I've done that. I had a guitar player in one of my earlier manifestations of my band, and he used to say that he could dream at will and have lucid dreams where he knew he was dreaming, and I thought that was a pretty cool thing. So I. There are some exercises sort of that you can do. And certainly if you're in a dream and you don't, not sure, is this a dream or not? Apparently there's one thing you can do is you can read something and then look away and look back, and it'll never be the same again. Like a headline on a newspaper or numbers on a clock that, you know, if you see that in a dream and you look away and you look back and it's not, then you say, oh, I must be dreaming. And I did that and say, well, if I'm in a dream, I can do anything I want. So, of course, the first thing I wanted to do was fly. So I did. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm off the ground. So, yeah, I have had one of those dreams. I haven't in a long time. This is decades ago. And it's like anything else. It's a discipline that you have to work on. And I don't have a lot of discipline.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because if you went to a psychologist or a psychiatrist and they talked about your dreams and you told them that you were flying, I'm sure that the psychologist would give you a million reasons of why you dreamt that, right?
And, yeah.
Ranging from everything to you know, to the relationship that you had with your parents, to, you know, other psychological issues. But sometimes it's just you have a desire to fly, so you fly.
It's funny.
About like you, that's what you want to do, Tom, right?
Because, you know, we talk a lot about dream visits, and an experience I had once, I relate dream visits to a loved one coming through to me, but what I'm about to say is more of just an experience that I dreamt I was traveling down. Now, Bob, you know the area where we live, and the main one of the main roads is Park Avenue. And if you head north on it, it goes slightly downhill. And in this dream, I was on a foot on the right side, well, heading north. I was on the right side of the street, and I was taking these huge leaps, almost as if it were a kangaroo that could really take long leaps down the hill. And that's always stayed with me. But that's it. You know, no kangaroo in the dream, just me.
Really?
Making these large jumping leaps. So I wonder what that is, that I still recall it. Do we recall dreams that maybe weren't especially, you know, a visit, or it might have significance in some regard, but I don't know.
I don't know. But if the next time I'm on Park Avenue, if I see a kangaroo,
yeah, really,
I'm going to pay attention. Here's a question. When a medium dies, do they have an easier time communicating to those in the physical world?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. We know personally, Janet Nohavik has recently passed away. And Joe Scheel, who is now taken over her position at the Journey Within Church, says that she has made her presence known. But that's a good question that we should ask Joe if he feels that's true.
Yeah, we don't really know. You know, it's sort of, it's an interesting question, because now, sort of like the shoes on the other foot, now the medium is not interpreting messages from the other side, but they're becoming the sender, hoping that one of their colleagues on this side understands what they're trying to communicate. So it is, you know, it's the first time that they've been in that position, right?
Interesting. I do know one of our, this is a secret, one of our certified mediums, Connie Fusella, is going to be working with the Journey Within. She never had the opportunity to meet Janet. So, you know, that might almost be more significant if Janet comes through in ways to Connie that Connie can share, you know, sort of saying, is that how she was? You know, and then we can validate it.
Yeah. You know, there are many, many historical accounts of mediums who communicate with multiple mediums once they pass over, you know, and including the cross correspondence cases and so forth. But that's different than communicating to you or me, you know, I mean, because they already have, they're communicating with other mediums, you know, which may not be the same. We always discuss how everybody has varying degrees of intuitive ability. So maybe it's easier to get through to another medium, but not as easy to get through to everybody else. So who knows? I guess we'll find out.
That's true.
Here's another experience. My son passed in May 2020. Since then, he has sent us many messages. She mentioned including a recording that she sent into our program a few months ago. His signs often use electronics, TVs, iPods, iPads, iPhones, timers, lights, and his bird is the Cooper's Hawk. But on his birthday last August, the 20th, my husband and I were sitting at our outdoor table. It's under a gazebo with Kyle's wind chimes hanging from the eaves on the back of the side of our house. We often talk to Kyle through those wind chimes, and often he answers, we think, Anyway, we were having coffee, feeling a little wistful, sad. We wondered out loud if Kyle would show his presence somehow on his birthday. And suddenly my husband said, "Look behind you." And I turned, and there, poised directly under Kyle's wind chimes, was the largest and most beautiful dragonfly I've ever seen.
Wow.
Kyle had never seen a dragonfly, but the fact that we've never seen another before or since, and that timing was spot on, it was his birthday, when we were outside to see it, and right after we wondered if he would send a sign, said to us that this was a special gift to us on a special day. You know, she added, since then, we tried to find the movie Dragonfly with Kevin Costner. They haven't been able to find it. I would imagine it still has to be. I mean, there's so many streaming networks. It's got to be somewhere. But, you know, some of them are a little bit difficult to find. But, yeah, there's an example of, we always talk about you question signs, but then look at all the circumstances. It was his birthday. They were talking about him, you know, and under his wind chimes. So when you put it all together, that seems to make the most sense, right?
Yeah, yes. I love that.
Yeah.
And then, and might throw this in, that's why we encourage people, when they get signs, if they're not sure or not, but they think, well, was that a sign, to write it down in a journal. Keep a journal. And then when you go back, and as you say, okay, one thing doesn't seem to be a sign, but oh my gosh, there was this and this and this, and then you see all the pieces of evidence, and they come in with the conclusion, yeah, that definitely was a sign.
Have you ever seen a swarm of dragonflies?
Not dragonflies, no.
What constitutes a swarm?
Okay, I'll explain. I mean, I occasionally see them here, you know, where I live. And I used to take walks with Fran. Every once in a while, we'd come across, when I say a swarm, I'm talking about hundreds
wow.
of dragonflies, like flying together. You know, it was crazy. And we saw it more than once, and maybe it's inherent to the island. I don't know, but I haven't seen it in many, many years. So that's why I asked you if you've ever seen them, because I did. You know, so I don't know if they typically fly in swarms, but I'm talking about Alfred Hitchcock stuff here.
Oh, you know, scary swarms. Maybe that could be a theme to a movie.
well, there's the thing. We get conditioned. Neither of us was scared of dragonflies, you know, even though they could look menacing. But, you know, we knew the spiritual connotations. Yes, we saw the movie and all that stuff. So to us, we were just amazed by it.
I know the week after my mom passed, I was in my car in downtown Huntington in the village, and I was stopped at a stoplight, and a swarm of butterflies went right across my windshield. And it was in October, when you don't usually see insects and butterflies around here. And I definitely took that as a sign.
And I believe we saw some, was it the rehearsal for our son's wedding when you were practicing for that? Or was it the actual wedding, which was outdoors and dragonflies were appearing? They weren't in a swarm. There was more than one. And I know that our daughter-in-law-to-be in that moment was thrilled, because she knew that was a special sign for us.
Yeah. And you'll never forget that swarm of butterflies, right?
No.
It's not something you don't see every day.
You know, because when my mom had been diagnosed with her leukemia and knew that she was terminal, I wanted to make sure that her last days here were nice, and I made sure that she had fresh flowers every week. And the florist that I went to, for some reason, I'd get a bunch of flowers, and she would put a stick in it with a butterfly on top of it. And my mother just thought that was the greatest, and she would save the butterflies on the stick and keep them separately in another vase to look at. So after she passed, all of a sudden, see a swarm of butterflies again. That's on top of the other information came together to let me know that was definitely a sign.
Nice. Here's a screensaver account. My late husband had a computer on the kitchen table. I've never touched it, but almost immediately after he passed, and she sent me an attachment to the screensaver, which began appearing at random times. And the screensaver was like a desert scene, you know, with a cactus, you know, on it. And she said that my dearest, most darling man suffered with chronic pain for 23 years, but never gave into it and lived his life with joy. I interpret the desert and cactus as a symbol of his suffering, and the rainbow, there was also a rainbow, and the blue sky as the better life he's found in spirit. I attended a bereavement group, she goes on, which she learned about at FFF. She went to one of our mediums who gave her very accurate messages. She said the best was the message to prune the hydrangeas, as he did all the gardening and landscaping, and she'd had to learn how to prune the hydrangeas. So that was certainly evidence to her.
You know, so. That's interesting, Bob. I was a picture just popped up on our screensaver a little while ago with this beautiful blooming hydrangea bush.
Oh, really?
I took note of it because it's not in our, well, it's not currently blooming, but I also had to transplant it. But it was from Tom's parents because the blue hydrangea was Tom's dad's favorite flower. And So at every memorial that my mother-in-law had for him, she would purchase fresh hydrangea plants to put in the church sanctuary and then give them to us, so I would plant them around the yard. So it's funny, I just took note of that before the program started.
Was that you guys who sent that question?
Yeah, totally. And I was just talking about my mom, and she loved hydrangeas, and talking about getting signs because of things lining up. And then the very next thing you do is read a story about hydrangeas. I'm going to take that as a sign.
Well, okay. I wish
I'll
I could tell
it
you.
Down. I'll put it in my journal.
So I'm glad they asked this, but what's an appropriate age for a young person to get a medium reading?
Interesting.
The reason I think that's an appropriate question is because I got an inquiry today about somebody that wanted to come to a grief retreat. She wanted to know if it was okay to bring her 11-year-old daughter. And I said that, unfortunately, our minimum age is 16. And the reason we set that is because, you know, there's a lot of adult content. When I say adult content, I'm talking about death and, you know, a lot of people's feelings. And I don't know that, you know, somebody very young would be able to handle that despite, you know, whatever maturity they had. And the other reason I know that you well know is that at these retreats, there are usually a tremendous number of people who have lost children. And, you know, seeing another child, there could be a trigger to one's grief, right? So for those reasons, you know, I understand some, I don't know about 10 or 11, but there are some that are 15-year-olds that are very mature, you know, maybe on a case-by-case basis, you know, make an exception. But so as far as getting a medium reading, I don't know. What would you say?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's hard to say. I mean, again, there are very mature 11-year-olds and very immature 11-year-olds. So you have, it's kind of a case-by-case basis. You know, certainly you would want to make sure it was a reputable medium who will be compassionate and not scare a child. But it's...
Yeah, and also I think there's a difference, say, to a young person to get a medium reading. I mean, I don't think she's talking about a one-on-one, you know, reading. But if you have, if you had a young person with parents or a parent, you know, or a guardian in that kind of a setting, you know, where the parent was monitoring and in control, you know, then I could see somebody you know, joining them, you know, that was in the early teens, right?
Yeah. It really does depend on the child, because we've all met some incredibly mature and sophisticated young people, and their peers, same age, you know, might be completely different. So I guess it would really be the parents' call on, they know their child so well. And right. To think, what do you hope to achieve? You know, what
exactly
that would be something to deal with as well.
I mean, on the other hand, we have heard that children are way more aware and sensitive to this sort of thing than adults, because they haven't had it beaten out of them. And I don't say beaten physically, but
yeah.
by society. So it's counterintuitive to think that, well, the younger the better, because they have no preconceived notions and they can just accept. But yeah, I think Bob hit a nail on the head, that what's the value going to be to someone who's too young to really grasp what's going on?
Yeah. And you're listening to The Gathering. If you did have a question, the number here is 888-627-6008. Here's another question. Do mediums use their psychic abilities to make decisions? I would think so. I think we all, right, to some degree. But I don't know. Do mediums use – I mean, in conversations with mediums, I'll hear them say things like, you know, my intuition tells me, or my gut tells me, or so I think they may use their psychic abilities more than other folks in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and I've also heard that, well, I asked my guide and things like that. So, yeah, I think they do reach out to, I think we all should. I mean, whether we can actually communicate or not, it's part of the intention. You know, when you put out an intention, your thought begins a process which will end hopefully in your intention. If you're a psychic and you can actually get a response, that I'm sure you would. And if you're not a psychic and you can't send out the request anyway, you know, send out the intention, and they're there to help you, whether you know it or not. The spirit world is yours to tap into. From what I've heard, spirit wants nothing more than to help you. But there's some sort of unwritten law for them that they can't just get in and interfere with your life. But if you ask, they can. If you ask, help me with this, you know, and I've heard it, help me find a parking spot, you know, things like that. As mundane as that, you can.
Yeah. Of course, what fascinates me is that when people use their psychic intuition that has nothing to do with spirit, I mean, because mediums are also, you know, psychic, and sometimes they just get a gut feeling and they go with it. I wish it would translate, because as you know, I've brought mediums to casinos over the years. Yeah. I'm not asking, I understand the concept that spirit's not going to get involved, you know, in gambling or to get make somebody wealthy, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the ability, like guessing cards, which one's going to come out next, like J.B. Ryan did, you know, with the Zener cards and so forth. Yeah. But it's never worked.
I thought there was one medium, I won't mention names, but it wasn't there one medium who is able to give you winners of horse races and things like that?
There's not a medium, but not with horse racing, but one of our mediums, and I don't think she would mind mentioning, because she posted about it a lot, but Joanne Gerber, who's a very good medium, very evidential, is also a very good poker player. She enters a lot of tournaments, and she uses her intuitive ability and her poker skills to be a lethal combination. I won't play against her. That's for sure. Yeah. All right. Let's go to a phone call. We have Anita from California. Hi, Anita.
Hello, everyone. I saw Hello. You when we had the grief retreat in Milpitas. I wanted to share a story of recent signs for a friend that passed, and we had her celebration of life, and then I have a question. But what I wanted to share as far as signs is that I was coordinating the lunch, and there is a place out here called Pasta Market, and I'm just saying I need an area with 25 tables. So it was all planned, and I'm thinking, okay, is this going to be, you know, the white tablecloths, the regular stuff? Now, at the service, when it's time to give eulogies and remembrances, I had my prepared speech all written down, but the priest before had given some stories because he personally knew our friend. And I said, I'm very intentional about what I'm wearing today for this service. I wore my sneakers that say love, and they have a heart. I have a heart pendant. I have my heart bag. Karen, my friend who had left, Pat transitioned, loved hearts. And anyway, I decided to tell one of the stories that I hadn't prepared, but I said when we were in our 20s, I'm now in my 60s, we would throw parties and some pretty awesome parties. And we would talk about it after and just say, you know, it's a good party when the police show up. Now, not anything nefarious, just loud music. We lived in an apartment upstairs. The dancing, you know, felt badly. Well, not at the time for the people, but the police were called. So anyway, as I'm driving to the restaurant, I'm going, gosh, why did I tell that story? I think I'm going to have to explain that it was for loud music, not anything dangerous or anything like that. So we get there. I go through the front door of the restaurant. They are decked out. This is in January, so just last weekend, all ready for Valentine. Hearts. She loved Christmas trees. There is a Christmas tree with love and hearts all over. For our reservation, the manager took it upon herself to have pink and red heart placemats. It gets even better, though. The breadsticks are normally in triangles or as sticks. She actually, the restaurant made heart-shaped breadsticks.
Wow.
Now, I'm sitting in the back. I can't see what's going on at the front of the restaurant or anything, but a couple of people came to me and said, Anita, you're not going to believe it. There's police. There were four policemen that came and sat down to have lunch. And I, when it was time to do toast, I, you know, rang the glass and I said, I want to let everyone know this is the divine and our friend Karen showing that she is here. She had a hand in this because I am not the type of person to do this type of detail and think about heart placemats and ask for streamers and all these things. But as we all know, a party's a success when the police show up. And I went to the officers. I told them the story. I took pictures because I go, I can't even make this stuff up.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's nice. Did you show them your sneakers?
Now, I did. And the, so that's that. But I do have a question, because as I'm relaying these stories, you know, of course, there's people that are still skeptical, or they'll just think, you know, they have very interesting concepts. And one of the people there said, oh, that she heard from a medium that our spirit friends, when they cross over, that they have to earn credits to be able to visit us in dreams or to be able to make contact. I'm just curious if anyone has ever heard of that, because it doesn't align with my philosophy of having to earn time to be able to communicate with mediums from the other side.
No, I've never heard that. And of course, there are cases where people start communicating, you know, within minutes after their passing. I mean, there's no time to earn any credits.
Right.
You know, it's just instantly. So, no, and I think, you know, some people have the ability to communicate right away. Some people, it may take years with help from people on the other side. You know, a lot of people think that there are mediums on the other side that help people to communicate. But I don't believe that for a second that you have to, you know, earn, you know, credits.
Yeah, I told them the same. I've never heard of that, and it doesn't follow my philosophy about unconditional eternal love. So, but I thought, I'll ask because you would all know or have heard of it, I'm sure.
How did the person sharing this seem to embrace that idea?
I think my opinion, she was willing to consider it. And I told her, I said, I've never heard of that. And I've been studying this. I sometimes tune into the Signs of Life radio for the gathering or other aspects. And I've never heard of that. And certainly, I come from, although I've studied a bit of Buddhism, but I am Christian, raised both Protestant and Catholic. And so I do tend to believe in a loving, eternal God, and that I don't have to earn anything. And in fact, the only thing I have to do, and as simple, maybe as difficult, is simply the one commandment we have is to love all. To me, it's as simple as that. Love all.
Absolutely.
Yes. I totally agree. I think it's just a bad choice of words because there's certainly no earning credit. And yet you do need to learn to do things on the other, learn your new non-body life and what you can do with it. And as far as communicating, we have found and been told that it's all about vibrations, that we here on the earth are vibrating at a lower level, that once you shed this mortal coil, this body of ours, and become pure energy, your vibration goes through the roof, quite literally. And if you're going to communicate to somebody who's still down on this plane, you got to bring your vibration down, and the person on earth has to bring their vibration up. And that's where mediums come in, because they are experienced with raising their vibration so that they can meet up with spirit to send the communication. So it's not about earning credits, but it is about learning a skill.
You know, I would almost...
Yes,
go ahead, Anita.
I was just going to say, I think in one of the programs last year, the year before, one of the speakers you had did say that the concept of levels now does resonate with me because of that passage. There are many rooms in my father's house. So, but what I did understand that those at higher levels, that there are levels, even in the Buddhist tradition, I think maybe even the Catholic, that as you rise your level, get to a certain level, because like you're saying, we all continue to learn, that you can come down, but those at certain levels may not be able to ascend to the next level until they're ready. I'm not sure.
That's kind of along the lines of what I was about to say also, but you said it better. But that's more what I've heard.
I would
agree. Definitely levels. My father came through and we were talking about something, and he mentioned in a reading that he was appealing to a higher level to help with a situation that we were going through. So, so that came directly from a medium reading and talking about other levels.
Well, thank you for sharing with us, Anita. Well, good to speak with you again.
Well, thank you. Yes, and thank you for doing this every week. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Take
care. We appreciate you, Anita. Thanks.
Have a good evening.
Thank you all. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right, let's go to Callista from Ontario.
Hi. You made a comment shortly about people, sort of some people are very good at communicating right after they pass away or someone's or later. How does our receptivity affect the frequency of which they communicate? As far as, you know, some, I feel like with my son's death, there was a lot more communication the first month or two, and I don't know if that was just part of him making sure he communicated with me and was present with me, as opposed to maybe I'm not as connected in my grief now. It's a year. So any sense of how to keep that communication channels open, and do they shift the amount that they communicate to us based on what we're doing in our life?
I'd have to say yes, because when they first pass is when you really need to know that they're okay. And yeah, they'll mm-hmm. they'll communicate that they're fine, and that they're, in fact, they're more than fine where they are. And I think that's one of it. And the other is that they don't want to interrupt your life. I know we all know from personal experience, we would love to every day get up in the morning and pick up Thomas Edison's cosmic phone that he was trying to invent and pick it up and start and have a chat. And mm-hmm. and that, you know, that phone never got invented, but there was a concept. And I think what they've realized is that you're here on this plane, this physical world, to do something. You know, you have a purpose. And if they constantly are talking to you, it might divert from what you actually need to get done.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, as Tom alluded to, there's a great urgency when they first pass over to get a message to you through evidence that they still exist. That's the number one priority. And then as you continue living your life, they'll pick their spots. You know, I mean, when you need to communicate with them, they'll find a way, you know, which is not always easy. And then time-wise, I think it's true that as time as we know it, you know, as years go by, lots of times the communications get less and less, and that might have something to do with what we were just talking about with the last caller. There may be spheres and other dimensions that they move on to, and their frequency gets higher and higher, and it's very difficult, you know, to drop down, so to speak. So, yeah, and also you mentioned your receptibility to this stuff, receptiveness. I mean, obviously, of course, you're open to it, but the conditions are not always right for them to get through, you know, so sometimes they'll just come through when you least expect it.
I agree with both of these fellows. I just hope you do get more messages or signs, at least signs that you know, you get that little spark again.
Okay. Well, thank you, Calista.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Let's try to get in one more call. We have Gina from New York. Hi, Gina.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
I can.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to share that. Well, it'll be 9 years since my dad passed on Valentine's Day this year. So, and he was my hero, my best friend. And when he passed, he was on the gurney and in the hospital, and you know, I was crying and so much that I couldn't even really catch my breath. Mm-hmm. And as I was moaning and crying, you know, I heard his voice say, you know, mix my ashes with Hans. That was his dog. And it was so clear. And so, you know, since then I've had many visitations in my dreams, and I'm really grateful. You know, I talk to him all the time. You know, I see pennies, you know, I'll walk into a store and there'll be music, certain songs that, you know, we both like. So I'm always open to hearing from him. I'm wondering, you know, which you were just talking about, the vibration, you know, that was immediately after he passed. So, you know, like I said, I was moaning, so it was, and crying so much that it was loud enough that, you know, I heard him say that. But of course, you know, since then, I'm just curious, you know, how do I open myself up? I've been in a lot of grief, you know, since his passing, and I know you got to raise your vibration to be able to connect. So that was one question that I had, how I could get, you know, more communication with him.
You know, yeah. I'll let Bob speak and then I'll share my thoughts.
Oh, go ahead, Melissa.
Well, I was just going to say, Gina, that I don't know whether, you know, we always talk about meditation, and it doesn't have to be this huge practice. It's really just sitting quietly and quieting your mind just to be aware of that moment, and even asking a question just within your meditative state of quietly focusing on your breathing and not letting other thoughts interfere. And when you feel like your mind has reached that point where you really are just focusing on your breathing and being in that moment, to ask a question of your loved one, and then see if somehow over the next day or two, something comes into your awareness that addresses that question that you had asked. That's just one way to do it. But Bob, what were you going to add?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's somewhat counterintuitive. It seems like the harder we try to make it happen, the less frequently it happens. When people teach psychic exercises, which is not spirit communication, but, you know, it's a similar process. What they teach is take a thought and just throw it out to the universe and let it go. You know, don't say, I want this to happen. You know, just let it go and let it percolate through the universe. And that's kind of the way I think it is with spirit communication. As you mentioned, set an intention to your loved one and then just don't concentrate on it. They'll hear you. It'll make its way to them. And yeah, then hopefully they'll find a way, you know, to make it happen. But the more that you try, you know, sometimes the harder it is. And like Melissa was saying, you know, any of these things to get into an altered state of consciousness, it doesn't have to be anything profound. It doesn't have to be an actual meditation. You know, it could be a walk in nature, and it could be listening to music or looking at art or taking a walk or writing. You know, those are all ways of getting your chatter mind to set aside, and sometimes stuff gets through. And of course, the best way is coming to you in your dreams. So just set that intention, like Melissa says, for your loved one to come through and then drift off. And when it's going
to
happen.
Talk to your dad. Yeah. Talk to your dad freely, like you're speaking to us right now. He'll hear you.
Yeah. Yes, I do. And I do keep a journal. So, you know, everything, all of you have been speaking about, I do that. So, and I'm really grateful. So I write
and
down.
And think, you know, think about how lucky you are. You know, you're obviously in distress. You're moaning, you're crying, and you hear quite clearly, you know, your dad talking to you through the chaos, right? Because he knew that he needed you to hear him at that moment. So that's a blessing. How lucky you are for that.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing, of course. And I've always wanted to get that back, that I could hear his voice again. So, but I am grateful that he does visit in my dreams, and I do journal it, and they do it makes sense, like what you're saying, because, you know, maybe a few days afterwards, I will get a sign that I'll be like, oh yeah, daddy, you know, in the dream, he was doing this or whatever, and then it makes sense. So it's pretty amazing. I just got to get that's the biggest challenge for me anyways, is to quiet the mind.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very hard. But keep practicing. Practice every day just for 5 minutes, and you'll be surprised what happens in maybe about a month.
Okay, thank you, Gina.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you.
Care. Have a good evening. Okay, I guess it's time for our Global Peace Prayer, was written by Lord Swanson. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment.
And I'd like to say our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And one day, science is going to acknowledge it.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next show. Have a good evening.
Good night.
Good night.